Good evening, everyone. This is the Metaphysical Hour with Dolores Cannon. And we're back live again tonight. I always tell you the date so you'll know it's a live show and not taken out of the archives because we travel so much. It's a live show tonight. This is August the 9th, 2013. And we're home in Arkansas for a while anyway because we're all over the world. Julia's not here tonight. Usually she helps with the show, as you well know. She's in England. We have an office in England. I don't know if a lot of you listeners know that or not. It's an office over there to take care of the European people that want to buy the books and set up things. So our office, we're moving it right now to Glastonbury. We were in Roanoke. And now they're moving it down by Marlborough, and they're moving it to Glastonbury. So that's what Julia is in England right now, helping them pack and get the new office set up over there. But we just keep expanding and growing, so anything is possible. But I'm used to Julia now helping with the show, but it's going to be fine tonight. We do have a guest tonight. And she's one of our authors. It's Catherine Andrews. And Catherine, where are you located?
I am in Kansas City.
Oh, you're not very far away from me then up there.
No, about 4.5 hours.
Did you get a lot of this rain?
It's been raining and storming all week. Yep.
We've had it down here too, and Missouri was terribly flooded.
Yeah, it flooded in areas near us, too. So, yeah, it's been good on one part, and then the flooding isn't so great.
Yeah, because they said on the news tonight it's a stalled front, and they're trying to get it to move.
Oh, interesting.
Most of it has been just over the border from us in Missouri until the last couple of nights, and now it's moved further south, so we're getting it. So, you know.
Well,
I don't like that very much, but there's not a lot we can do about it. You know,
as long as it doesn't interrupt the technology in our call tonight.
Well, we never know. Sometimes electrics, if we have lightning and stuff, it might. And before, Don has had some problems with the technology. But I think he'll let us know if anything happens. So far, it's just cloudy. I don't think it's going to be any lightning right now. Okay. But before we go on, I want to give out the toll-free number for anyone who wants to call in tonight and ask questions. The toll-free number is 1-888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Catherine Andrews is one of our authors. And we just got through with our transformation conference, and she was one of the speakers there. And I think it went very well, don't you?
I think it did. I was really excited about it, and I had fun.
It was fun. George Nuri was there, and I was really surprised at what a sense of humor he has.
Oh, yeah, he was hysterical.
I've known him for doing the radio shows, but I had never met him in person, and I had no idea he had such a sense of humor. So it really added to the whole conference. Okay.
Oh, it did, yeah, because he was almost the last night. It kind of wrapped things up with some humor, and, you know, there was so much wonderful information, and it was nice to kind of have a little lighter evening with his humor.
Yeah. But, you know, never know what you're going to get. But I think everyone did really well at the conference. Now, Catherine has written a book that we have published. Really, it's actually two books because one of them is a workbook. And the name of her book is Soul Choices. And then it has the workbook that goes along with this. Six Paths. These are part of your soul choices. There are six of these choices. And Catherine says that you choose, you know, I've talked about this before you come into a life, you're on the spirit side, you do make your plan. And you make your choices of what you hope to accomplish when you come into the life. And you make your plan. And she says, you have six choices that you make before birth. Part of this plan, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. And so if people want to understand their life purpose, they have to look at these choices that they made before coming into the body, and that will really unlock what they came here to do.
Yeah, because you know, a lot of people think it's very complicated. But before we get into this subject, let's tell people about you. I always like to start off at the beginning and the telling people, you know, about you and your background and how you got into all of this. So talk about
Go ahead.
Talk about yourself.
Sure. I luckily was born into a family where there was no formal religion. So I was kind of left on my own to search out some answers. And my dad was kind of against religion. He said, you know, there were no answers to be found there. So I started searching at a young age. I was about 12 or 13. And I said, well, if religion doesn't have the answers, what does? So I started going to the library, and I was drawn to books by Ruth Montgomery. She was one of the first authors that I started reading, and when I learned about reincarnation, it just rang so true to me, and continued on reading metaphysical books throughout my teenage years and delving a little bit into meditation and things, and really was hooked on it ever since I started reading about it. And so when I was in my early 20s, after I graduated from college from the University of Michigan, I really was looking for what was my life path. And so I didn't want to do the traditional routes to find out, so I went to see an astrologer. And she gave me a reading that just completely blew me away in terms of the information she related to me. It was so significant. It rang so true to me and just spoke to my heart. I knew that I was onto something. So I studied astrology for years, became a practitioner, worked individually with people, began teaching classes in it. And I you know, worked in business as I was doing this metaphysical research on the side. And then over a period of about 10 years, I delved into the other paths that we're going to talk about tonight. I learned palmistry, numerology. I learned a form of iris analysis called rayed iris. And each one of these studies just opened up a whole new world to me about what I could learn about myself. And then because I was so intrigued by it, I became a practitioner of that science and began practicing it with people, you know, doing the research. And then when I met my husband, we both started training and doing past life readings. And that opened up a whole new chapter for both of us. So we do the Edgar Cayce style readings, where my husband puts me into a trance-like state and we're able to retrieve past life information for people. So over about 12 years, we did a lot of research on the past lives that we read for people. We had our own lifetimes read several times, and I saw that you really, in order to understand yourself today, you have to go back to the beginning of when you started incarnating in bodies, and that's the key to the whole past life section. To figure out how you adopted this different set of beliefs and attitudes and your karma, everything is, you know, going back to that beginning, the past lives. So over a period of about 15 years, I used all these sciences, practiced them, and then decided, well, wouldn't it be great to put all these paths together in a book so that people could take this journey through the six paths in a quicker fashion that I did, in a very organized, detailed way. So I also created the workbook, and it's a process that people work through and come to all these wonderful answers and conclusions about their life so that they can assimilate why they're here now and not waste a lifetime. You know, they can really accomplish the mission of what they came here to do.
If time is speeded up, it's time to do it quicker. But that's one thing I was going to say. This book is an amazing amount of information in it. Each one of these chapters could be an entire book on itself, and there are many books on just each part of this. You found a wonderful way to put it all together so people can look at all of it at one time.
Yes, that's really what I wanted, because sure, people can go out and buy an astrology book and you could study astrology. I'm still a student of astrology for years and years and years. But I find to really be thorough, you have to do all the six paths. So my book gives a good detailed information about all the six paths, and then people are intrigued by perhaps one of the paths more than another, and then they can continue on and find more books on that subject and go a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's what I think is fascinating. It has it all in one place. And if there's any listeners out there who want to call in and ask Catherine anything, she's going to be going over these different modalities anyway. That they're all very valid, and they all help people to learn a lot about themselves. They've all been around for ages. And I said she's put them all into one book. We're going to discuss each one, I guess. But if anybody out there wants to call in and ask Catherine any questions about what she's talking about, feel free to do it on that toll-free number that I gave out. That one, let me see here, get it again. It's 1-888-627-6008. But the six paths that you have listed are past lives, and you know that's my specialty.
Yes.
And astrology, numerology, the iris, palmistry, and interestingly enough, family and birth order. I'd never heard of that one before having an influence on you. He said, these are all make you who you are, each one of these. So you need to know something about all of them. These are the six paths. You did mention something about the past lives. You know, and I know that is valid to find out about yourself, your association with other people in your lives, like your husband. I met your husband and your daughter at the conference. Is that
Yes.
Is that your only daughter?
Yes, we just have one daughter.
Okay. And she was sitting right in the front row, and Mommy was giving her an astrology chart as an example, and she was sitting there grinning from ear to ear. Okay, but the past lives are very important because that's the basis of my work. But let's talk about one of these other paths on here, too. We can jump around some.
Sure. Well,
I'm interested in the one about family and birth order.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I always talk about the fact that we're going to be spending about 18 years with our birth family. And so it's such an important choice because they're going to be right in our face. It's not like a friend that we can choose to see when we occasionally want to. We're going to be surrounded by this group of people. So that choice of family is so key because they're going to stimulate the two aspects of our life purpose, which I haven't mentioned yet, but the two aspects to our life purpose are developing our gifts and talents and learning our lessons. You know, what are our challenges? What areas do we still need to experience those lessons? And so family is a wonderful stimulator of our lessons. You know, of course, whatever our parents do to push our buttons, we chose them for that
reason.
And
they do push our buttons sometimes.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And at the same token, they can also be wonderful supporters of our gifts and talents. And in the book, you know, one of the examples I give is Mozart. He came into this lifetime, obviously, wanting to develop his creative musical abilities. And so the family he chose was all musically inclined. His sister was a musician, his older sister, and his father was actually a member of the orchestra and was an accomplished musician himself. So Mozart chose this family, and by the age of four, he was telling his father what notes to put down on the paper, and he composed his first song. And his father encouraged him all along, and when he recognized the talent that his son had, he quit his job in the orchestra and devoted his entire life to promoting his son and setting up concerts for him around Europe. And his sister also really encouraged him. So it's an example of a family that really was perfect for him. Now, the other interesting thing about his choice of family is that he had money problems his entire life, believe it or not. He died pretty much in poverty, Mozart did. And his father also had a difficult time managing money. So I think that that's one of the lessons they were working on together was something about self-worth, self-value, you know, why they maybe they didn't value themselves enough, which is why they had money problems. So, you know, that's a great example to look at in terms of family choices. And I always tell people, and people are aware of this, if you don't learn the lessons with your mom and dad, you're probably going to end up marrying somebody who's going to be very similar to one of those parents that you're still working, you know, through issues with.
I find that constantly in my work. They just jump from the frying pan into the fire and they just continue it. But, you know, we can also, we do choose our parents and our circumstances. We also sometimes choose parents that are negative experiences.
But yes, that's
my
true.
Work, therapy, I've run into that all the time, people with very bad childhoods. But I tell them, remember, you chose this. Now, what did you learn from the situation?
Yeah, as long as people can see the gift or what they learned from it, they're usually more able to let it go, you know, the difficulties and the anger that they could feel towards a difficult family situation. You know, a lot of times it's karmic. I had a student in one of my classes who had an abusive mother, and she wanted to get to the root of it. And they had a past life reading together, and it turns out that she was the abuser in the previous lifetime. So
yes,
she was now experiencing... Yeah, she was now having to experience what it was like. So
well,
hopefully she got it this time.
That's the way karma works, and we don't realize that we're not a victim. We have planned this because of something that happened in other lifetimes. It makes more sense if you could look at it that way. But I always tell my clients, did you learn anything from the situation? You learned even one thing, that was the reason why you chose to have that experience.
Yes, and in the workbook, I offer a whole questionnaire process that takes people through looking at their family in depth, and they answer the questions, and through that process, they begin to uncover things about why they would have chosen a family and traits and qualities that their parents had. They look at it at a deeper level and usually come out understanding and why they chose that family and seeing what the beauty of the lesson was. And then
Go ahead. I was wondering about the part about birth order. That's something
yes.
I've never thought of, you know.
Yeah, so I also combine that information by looking at the birth order. And the particular sequence that you choose to be born creates a particular space and vibration for that person. So the study that I use in my book was by a man named Denny Johnson, who also was the originator of the Iris method that I use. I loved his birth order study because I've worked with it over many, many years and found it so accurate when I use it with people. And he basically has identified six siblings, six boy sequences and six girl sequences. And so, for example, the birth order is actually based on your birth order according to your father. So you look at what child were you born to your dad. So if you're the first child born to your dad and you're a female, you would be the firstborn girl. Or if you were a firstborn boy born to your dad, you're firstborn boy, and so on. And you read the description about that particular sequence, and you see that each one has certain gifts that are endowed to that birth order, as well as certain lessons to work through. So it's just another tool to understand yourself deeper, and it's also an amazing tool for parents because they often, you know, are confused about their children or why they're acting the way they are or what their children need. And I always get the question, well, I have two kids and they're as different as night and day. Well,
yeah.
Of course. You know, they
have
many
different
needs. I was
going to say that because they're not alike. I've got a big family and they're all different. But that's one reason why we think, well, the same parents, they should be all alike. We've been raised the same way, but they're not. They all have their own individual personality.
Yes, and part of it, you know, has to do with the birth order. And, you know, for example, the firstborn girl is known as the mother bear, and she just loves to model herself after her mother and wants to do housework, very domestic, usually the first one to get married and have a family. Whereas the second child born, second born girl, is like the mysterious metaphysical one who is not interested at all about housework and domestic. She kind of goes off into her own world and, communicates with spirits and is more introverted and wants to ponder the mysteries of the world. So completely different vibrations of first and second born girl. And when parents understand that, they don't try to force the second born girl to, do the household chores and, like the first born girl, they recognize, okay, she's a little bit different and, and then it just flows much more smoothly in the family when they're respected for their differences.
That is hard to I know there's always sibling rivalry too and the fighting among them. And they're all different.
Yeah, and the sibling rivalry, of course, too, we can look to past lives to see, what's the connection between those two siblings. Usually has its roots in a past life of maybe not getting along or, some issue that wasn't resolved. So that's a fun thing to do, again, doing everything in combination. And one of the readings that my husband and I offer, we can actually do a family past life reading for up to five people where we look at all the five and trace it back to when they were all together in a past life. Now, sometimes, when you're talking about five people, you don't always find a lifetime when they were all present. But most of the readings we've done, we do find a lifetime where all of them were together. Of course, all the roles were different, but then you so much clearer understand the present family dynamics.
Yeah, because in my work, you might find one or two in a past life, but it's harder to find them all. And they will change roles, and it can be really interesting the way they change roles. It could be mother and father in one, mother and daughter in one, and then maybe husband and wife in another life. And I found some very interesting past lives doing that.
Oh, so, yeah, it's fascinating.
Because that's what I tell people, this is just a play anyway. Life is just an illusion. It's just a play. And you're
yep.
just acting out parts is all you're doing.
Right, and a lot of times what happens is we get attached to the part we played in a past life and we want to play that part again. So
yeah.
If we were the mom in the past life but we're the child this lifetime, we still want to be the mom and boss everyone around. It's like, well, no, you have a different role now.
And that's what I tell people, your greatest enemy now could have been your greatest friend on the other side. And they just said, this time I want to play the villain. So they come in and do that part. And some of them play their parts very, very well. But they're just playing a part that you have assigned to them to learn something from. Then when you leave the life and you're on the other side, they'll say, well, I did a pretty good job as being the bad guy, didn't I?
Yeah, we'll probably all be quite surprised when we get to the other side and figure out that our enemies actually were our friends and were doing it as a service to us.
Well, it helps it to look at it from that perspective sometimes, that it all has a reason. We get so caught up in right now, we don't see that there's a bigger picture.
Exactly, and I like to look at karma. One way I explain karma to people is that it's really a set of beliefs and attitudes that you as a soul have developed over many lifetimes. And so this set of beliefs and attitudes about yourself and the world continue to draw to you certain circumstances and situations that match those beliefs and attitudes that you have. So if you continually attract bullies in your life, you may have some belief that you're weak, and you're a victim, and hence you keep drawing situations that make you the victim. So part of the key I find for helping people to get out of situations or roles that they don't want to play anymore is to uncover what are those beliefs and attitudes that you've developed. And, people finally get to the point where they're fed up with them, either through anger or too many wake-up calls, and they're like, I want to change these beliefs. And then they eventually do. And I don't think we keep needing these wake-up calls like we talked about in the beginning. We need to wake up faster. We need to get moving, recognize these patterns, change them, and, create what we do want.
That's what I tell people. If this is just a play, you're the actor, director, producer in your own play. You're also the script writer, but the script writer's script is not written yet. It's written as it goes along. which means you can change it at any time. If you don't like the way your life's going, you can rewrite your script. And they don't realize the power they really have.
That's a great point, because I always also stress in the book and in my classes is that one of the most powerful forces in the universe is free will. That,
yes.
You know, no matter how strong your astrological influences are or your past life beliefs and attitudes, you have free will, which means you have the power in the present moment to change anything you want and, like you said, rewrite the script differently.
With everything in your life you have created, you have put there. If you're not happy with the way your life's going, change it. It's that easy. It may not sound easy to some people, but it really is, because you're a much greater, powerful being than you think you are.
Right, exactly. When we shed these bodies, we see our true light and how powerful we are. And I think that's a big part of the life purpose work that I do, is opening up people to their power when they see all the possibilities from their charts. And when they realize that, you know, most of us, since the time of Atlantis, have had at least 100 lifetimes on Earth, you know, some a little more, some a little less. And every experience and every lesson and understanding that we've gained in that lifetime, we don't lose, we store with us in that subconscious.
Yeah.
So our soul is a storehouse of information, talents, gifts, understandings. I mean, we are so powerful. With every lifetime, we've become hopefully wiser because we've had more experiences. And so we need to tap on that and realize, wow, look at everything I have gained up to this point, and tap into that subconscious and let it loose.
Yeah, and if it's appropriate, we can bring those talents back. Nothing is impossible. I've been told that so many times in my work. There are no limitations. Nothing is impossible. The only limitations are those that you put upon yourself.
Yes, I agree.
Let's talk about the iris, because, you know, I know about iridology, you know, where they take the pictures of your eye and they're able to see things in the iris. But I think that's different, isn't it?
Yes. This study is actually called rayed iris, and the only thing it has in common with iridology is that it uses the eyes as a tool. So whereas iridology looks at the eyes to see what's going on physically with the person and to understand their constitutional strengths, rayed,
yeah.
And the word actually comes from ray, meaning ray of light, and id, meaning the ego. So the ray of light illuminating the ego, we look at the eyes to understand our psycho-spiritual qualities, our gifts, talents, our lessons, our personality, our creative style. Again, so many things about ourselves we see through the eyes. So we also can take pictures of the eyes, but we look as practitioners of rayed, we look for particular patterns in the iris. We look for rings around the iris. There's several rings that you can form around the iris that also allude more to your character. We can tell things such as whether a person tends to be more inner-directed if their energy goes inward, or outward if they're more expressive. And we can also tell if a person is more right or left brain dominant. So it's really an amazing study. And Denny Johnson discovered that there's four main iris constitution types, and then there's four combination types. And each one describes the way that the person approaches life. So we have the person that approaches life from the emotions, which is the flower iris. We have somebody who approaches life from the mental or the mind, which is what we call the jewel iris. And then we have somebody that responds to life kinesthetically. This is the very sensitive person, what we call the stream iris. And then lastly, we have people that experience life from extremes. They're the extremist type, and that's what we call the shaker. And so when we understand our core iris type, we choose careers, we choose friends, we choose hobbies, we choose a lifestyle that really supports that core constitution. And then we tend to feel healthier and happier about ourselves. So So I always tell people, if you're not happy at a job or with your life, it's probably not supporting your influences. And one of the areas we can look is your eyes. So just a brief example, I have the flower iris type. And so flowers live life through the emotions, and it's a very creative iris type. They want to be around people and find a career where they can express themselves and communicate. So in my beginning years, I thought I was going to follow in the footsteps of my father and become an accountant. And I was miserable when I would work in accounting. I thought, oh, this is not me. I felt literally like I was a wilting flower. I didn't know that was my iris type at the time. And then when I got into writing and teaching and public speaking, I just blossomed. I said, this is it. And then when I read about and learned about my iris type, it all fell into place and made so much sense.
But you can't just see this by looking at someone, can you?
Well, if somebody has light-colored eyes, like light blue, sometimes I can see the patterns just looking at their eyes with good light. But darker-colored eyes, you know, dark brown, it's best to have, you know, either a magnifying glass with a little light or having, you know, professional pictures taken, and then you can really study the patterns and see clearly.
I was thinking this, isn't it? It has to be real detailed like that. It's nothing you can just tell by talking to someone. You can't see that in their eyes.
Right, yeah, I usually, you know, will have a really good magnifying glass, and I have a special light. And then I also like to back up what I see with pictures, and so people can, and I can point to the pictures and show them what I'm talking about as we talk about the different patterns. So I have a big set of my eye photos that I put on the wall as kind of a reminder of who I am.
Because I know with the iridology, they're looking for little specks and things in the iris. This sounds like it's different.
It is different. I think it's easier to see the patterns with rayed iris. And, you know, Denny Johnson in his books does a wonderful job of pointing out the iris patterns and what to look for. And, of course, in my books as well, he let me use the pictures and explain it all. So I've clearly pointed out what to look for in the eyes. But this is one of the paths where you would want to eventually contact a professional to help you understand your eyes. Some of the paths, again, just like the past life section, people would definitely at some point want to contact a professional like yourself and have a past life regression session or an Akashic record reading to really get the full information and the accuracy that's needed for this work.
Yeah, in Catherine's book, she has different, each section covers each one of these with pictures and lots of detail. A lot of information, like I said, it's all combined into one book instead of having to buy six books. But now astrology, I'm familiar with that. I have friends who are really good astrologers. I think most people out there, too, I think everyone knows their sign.
But, yeah, nowadays most people do.
Yeah. Well, just an example, I'm an Aries. What could you say about that?
Well, you know, the sun sign, which is based on the month of your birth and day, is about your identity and how you want to identify yourself this lifetime. So choosing Aries, you wanted to identify with leadership qualities. You know, if you think of the sign of Aries, it's the ram, which is an animal that likes to take the lead. It's very powerful. It's a pioneer. So you chose that influence to help you embody that as well as to be part of your life mission. So, I mean, you're definitely a pioneer in the area of writing books on UFOs and reincarnation and all these topics. You know, like you said, when you first started writing, nobody was really exposing the truth.
That's what I always say, that I'm an Aries. They go in where the angels fear to tread.
Yeah, so you chose the perfect influence for you because the Aries ram is not afraid to, you know, charge new territories and to be the first and to be different and to stand out in the crowd. And you had to have an influence like that that would have given you the aggression, you know, and the courage to stand up and write a book like that and not care if some people laughed at you or called you crazy. So, you know, it's such a perfect example of why you would have chosen that sign.
I'm just using myself as an example so people can identify with it. Usually I don't do that. But my husband, he was Taurus. And we were only a week apart, which is interesting.
Yes. Well, there's many similarities between Aries and Taurus. You know, the Taurus is the bull, which is the earth sign, which is also very powerful like Aries, wants his own way, can be very determined and steadfast. That's the one thing about Taurus, is they've come into this lifetime to be steadfast.
They're both like the bull and the ram. We used to butt heads a lot.
I imagine you did. But you understand a lot about yourself when you're with somebody who's similar to you, because you get to see those traits every day. And I remember I was teaching class one time, and I had a woman in there who was a Taurus. And she said, well, you know, I think being a Taurus is one of the most important signs in today's era, because we have that quality of steadfastness and determination. And she said, in today's world, so many people start something and then they drop it a month later. Oh, this is boring, or, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. But Taurians have that ability to stick with something. And I thought that was a really good point.
Yeah, but sometimes they overdo it.
Sure, they can get stubborn and stick their heels in the mud. And
don't want to progress.
Well, and I always point out, with every sign, with every influence, there's a positive and a negative expression.
Yes, there has to be.
Yeah, it's the duality. And so no sign is better or worse than another. It's just, again, the free will. Is the person going to express all the negative qualities of that Taurus and be a stubborn bull and not budge? Or, you know, are they going to use it more for being determined and being steadfast on a particular path? So, again, that's the choice.
And we do choose all these things before we come in. I found we do choose what sign we're born under.
But, oh, yes, we plan out what day we want to be born so that the heavens will give us a planetary alignment that suits us.
Yeah, and I think most of the people who have been listening to my show, I've been on the air now for almost 9 years, most of them are into metaphysics, so they know most of these modalities anyway. But I think it's interesting to, you know, explore them, because we know there's a lot of truth in them. They're so old. They go back so long. Anything that's been around forever has got to have some basis of truth in it.
Oh, exactly. That's why I call them intuitive sciences, because they are scientific in their accuracy. And they also, you know, have an element of intuitiveness to them as well. I think good practitioners in these sciences have to use their intuition as well. And, astrology, the caves in France, those Lascaux caves they have found drawings, you know, from 12,000 years ago, and they found drawings on those caves that look like the glyphs of the different astrological signs. So that's just a clue, is that even the ancient cultures knew of the astrological influence.
How long they've been around. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And even though, like you mentioned, so many people who are into metaphysics know about astrology and so forth, I think the difference in my book and how I approach it is not that it's just a fun tool, which it is, but I use it with the focus on life purpose. So using astrology to see what is my life purpose, that's kind of the slant that I use these sciences for.
And I know palmistry. I studied palmistry years ago. I don't use it anymore, but I believe there is something there. But with palmistry, I think it's more intuitive. Just like, you know, if you remember Justine at the conference,
yes.
She's a master tarot reader. But to me, the tarot cards are just a tool. She's usually using most of it is her own psychic abilities. So I think the same thing is with palmistry. The lines definitely do tell you something, but a lot of it does go back to the intuitiveness of the reader, too.
Oh, I would definitely agree, especially, you know, because the hands are alive. So when I do, I don't like to do palm readings from a distance, because I want to see the person. I actually touch their hands. I hold them. I feel them. And you pick up on the person's vibration as you're doing that. So, yes, of course, look at the lines and all the little details about things I've studied about the hands. But I also get a lot of information just holding their hands and, you know, picking up on the vibration that's emanating from them. And I, you know, so things come to me in the reading that aren't what I studied in palmistry. And, you know, it obviously is coming from somewhere, and it's that intuitiveness that I think adds to the reading, definitely.
Yeah. That's why, well, Justine doesn't like to do things on the phone. Do you like to do readings on the phone or not?
Well, the only reading that I don't mind doing on the phone is astrology, because, you know, the chart just speaks to me so clearly, and it's so deep that I almost feel as if the person's in my presence when I'm looking at their chart. It's just an interesting thing. I don't know if the planets are speaking to me, too, or something. So I can do that one long distance, but most of the other readings work much better when I have the person in my presence. So that's why I like to teach a lot of classes and do workshops where I can be face-to-face with people.
And you're doing these workshops all over the country?
Yes, I am. Yep. Yeah, so I have several events coming up that, you know, will be posted on the website and things.
Hey, somebody, we got a caller, but you want them to check out the website and see where you're going to be?
Yes, please do, yes.
We have a caller online. Who's there, please? Hello? Hello? When it made that loud beep, that meant there was somebody on the line. Well, if there is, they'll call back, I guess. So tell everybody where you're going to be, where your next workshops are going to be.
Well, right now I'm going to be focusing for the next couple months on the Kansas City area. So in October, I'll be at the Unity Church in Overland Park, Kansas. And I'll be doing book signing there and some different classes. In January, I'll be teaching some courses at a community college right here in Overland Park, Johnson County Community College. I'll be teaching some classes on different aspects of metaphysics. And let's see, I have a couple more radio shows coming up. I'm going to be on the Shelley Wilson radio show September 11th. Next Wednesday, I'll be on Soul Journeys Radio, which is out of Arkansas, or actually Branson, Missouri.
Huh?
So those are some of the big highlights coming up.
But if anyone wants to book you for a workshop, would you want them to contact you at your website or what?
Yes, if people would like to have a private workshop, if they get a group of people together, I definitely will travel to come do that. So people can contact me through my website, which is www.katherineandries.com. That's KATHRYN. ANDRIES.com. And I love to travel and do these workshops. We can do them in a weekend format, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. We can actually do all six paths. So it's a wonderful weekend, and you go away with just a ton of knowledge about yourself.
And you have the workshops that they, I mean, the workbook that they can work through also with these workshops.
Yes, they get the book and the workbook, and we go through the entire thing in the workshop.
Hey, there's that beep again. Let's see if anybody's there. Hello, is anyone there? Hello? Maybe they're having problems on Don's end with the technology. Okay, well, let's just keep going then. We do have colors on these shows. So he said we're having problems on the Skype line, so we're just ignore any beeps on there.
Okay.
All right. You know, it's a thing. They're in California, and everything is electronic now, and technology, and all this stuff. And probably the weather, the lightning isn't helping either. Okay. We didn't talk about numerology, but I think people understand what that is also.
Yes. It's neat because every number has a particular vibration. And so our birth date, which again, we chose, adds up to a particular number, which is the vibration about us. And it's so simple to do. If you can add and subtract, I tell people, you can do numerology. You don't even have to do double-digit addition and subtraction. And your name as well has a vibration to it. So every time somebody says your name, you
the
can
caller is back.
Every...
We do have
every,
caller back.
Oh, okay.
We have one, okay. Because we don't have a lot of time, so let's see what they want. Okay. Hello, is there anybody there?
Hello. Yes, hi, Dolores. My name is Joe. How are you?
Okay, we were having trouble getting you on. We only got about 5 minutes, so... Okay, do you want to ask a question to Catherine?
I had a question about the energy that you mentioned. Can I quickly ask you, in any of your books, do you sense a vibration of energy coming through?
What do you mean, a sense of vibration of energy? Everything is energy.
Right. And you mentioned, for example, one of the three waves. In the middle of the book, you mentioned there was energy placed by the star beings, the light beings, that actually placed some energy in your book. And when I started reading your book from the very beginning, I felt a pulsation.
Yeah.
A pulsation of energy coming through.
Yeah, they said
and
that there's more in your
heart.
They said there's more in your books than you think there is, and things that I didn't even write. And they said when people pick up the books and read them, they will get that energy from it. So there's always more in a book than you think there is, and that's what they meant. And sometimes people can feel something and pick it up. So I think that's what you mean. But it's a good
energy. Yeah, that's what I kept feeling.
It's a good
I felt
energy.
That in your book as I was reading it. I felt the pulsation within the heart. And as I was reading forward, I had questions about, because after December 21st, I kept noticing the sun was totally white. And I kept noticing it. And then thereafter on March the 22nd, I wrote about information that I took some pictures. Because I pulled over a side of the road coming from a food supermarket, and somebody told me to take pictures. And then, lo and behold, about a week later, I never looked at the pictures, and I see that there were these star beams coming in through the streamlights of the sun. I took like four or five different ones. I was so shocked about it. I took several pictures, and I couldn't understand it. And I sent you the pictures by email. I sent you several of them. Because I kept feeling not only the ringing in the ears, but also the chakra coming in through the heart by what I was reading in your book, because I was trying to find answers to why the sun was turning completely white. And I have pictures of these star beings, so they've given me a symbol through their arm, a gesture.
I get thousands of emails, and I try to read them all. I don't have time to really answer them. I don't remember seeing any pictures, but they may have been some there. If you want,
I spoke to Mavis.
Like, if you would submit
yes,
them again, and that way I'd be sure to see them. Would you do that?
Sure, I would.
Okay, because I've been suffering so much, something might have happened. Someone in the office might have put them somewhere, and I didn't get to see them. But go ahead and do that.
Okay.
To me again and send me an email explaining everything. Would that be okay? Okay, because
yes,
we're going to have
to. I'd love to.
Okay, so you do that. You send them back to me and remind me on there. I'm the one that talked to you on the radio so that I'll remember what they are. Okay, you do that.
Okay. So shall I send it to the same email as decannon@msn.com?
Yeah, decannon@msn.com, yes.
Okay. Dolores, one other thing. This is the reason I call is because of not only of the photos, but messages that I received last year. I wrote my own book a year ago, but had nothing to do with star beings. What was being explained. And what happened was, the book is named Awake to the Awakening. But what my vision was that the star beings told me last year that there was going to be, that they were coming to the planet, and that they would make changes to the planet, and that there were going to be things that were going to show up. I didn't expect them to show up sometime in March, and yet, lo and behold, there were several of them appearing, not only through the sun, but through several portaling locations of the sun from where I live.
Well, I've got these pictures showing. Why don't you go ahead and email me this information, because we're coming down to the time that I'm going to have to sign off the air. So I don't have any time to finish talking to you right now. So send me the email and the pictures, and I'll look at them.
Okay.
And thanks for calling in, Joe.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, Catherine, I was hoping people would call in for you, but you never know what we're going to
get. Oh, that's okay.
All right, because we don't have a lot of time left. But I want to tell you an email that I just received that I don't have any idea how I could possibly do this. You were talking about, you know, we know about life purpose and life lessons.
Yes.
This one email said, why don't you write an entire book about life lessons? What it is we're supposed to be learning, because she said, I can't find anything out there on what we're supposed to be learning. What lessons are we supposed to learn? And I was thinking, there's no way you could answer that. Because
yeah, I think it's individual for each person. Everybody's learning different lessons. I think
you can't list these are the lessons you have to do before you finish life, because everybody's life is individual and different.
And exactly. And if we've had existences, you know, previous existences, even on other realms, there's things that we have already learned. One thing that, you know, people could explore is the connection between some of the holy scriptures and the astrological signs. So if somebody looks at the 12 disciples and sees the qualities that they have, they all do relate to each one of the zodiac signs. I do think that we are here to understand and be able to express all the different qualities that the different disciples were able to. So lessons could be, you know, areas like that we have not yet learned to express. That's
Everyone's life is different and individual, and as you grow older, your lessons change. You keep learning more and more. So I'm going to have to answer the woman and say, it's impossible to write a book saying, this is what you have to learn, A, B, C, and D. It's impossible.
Yeah, that'd be too easy.
Yeah. No, it's not that easy to figure it out like that. You have to live life. Hey, we're coming down to the time we're going to have to sign off, but if people want to contact you, you already gave out your website. Is that how you want them to contact you, if they want to send emails or anything?
They can also email me at my name, Catherine Andries, at AOL.com. Again, that's KatherineAndries at AOL.com.
And the name of Catherine's book is Soul Choices, and it has the six paths in there. Make it very simple. There's a ton of information packed in this one book, and it has the Soul Choices workbook. And these are available in bookstores, but they're also available on our website, Ozark Mountain Publishing, which is OZARKMT.com. Or you can get them through Amazon. You can get them through any book supplier. But you can contact Catherine about her workshops. Okay, well, it's coming down to the wire. The hour just flies by when we're doing these things. Okay.
It does. So, that was fast.
So, Catherine, I want to thank you for being on tonight.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
And you keep working out there and doing your job. You're on the right path.
Oh, I will. You'll be seeing me around.
Okay. So it's time to go, everybody. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. You have a good evening. Good night, everyone.